All of the major news stories made simple and easy for your listening pleasure. We'll break it down for you in keywords for this segment. We're joined by Adam. Good morning.
Good morning, Lena.
Do you have a big social media presence?
No.
Is it public?
Yes.
Oh, so that's interesting because he posts a lot of golfing pictures and no pictures related to his professional career.
That is true. I kind of think of social media as my private diary in a kind of way.
But it's not private, and that's the point, right? And it becomes really interesting if you're like halfway to famous like Adam and myself. You're not quite there.
Halfway to famous.
Right, because not everybody is so proactively looking into your everyday updates, because that would be being, you know, examined under a microscope in which you probably need a PR team to defend your case. Yeah. But then it puts me or us in a really gray position. Yeah. Like, how much do I share?
Well, the first thing is my account is public because I don't know how to make it private.
No.
Because I'm a tech noob, as the youngsters say. But I didn't intentionally make it public, basically, is what I'm saying.
And I guess if you're in a gray area like us, maybe it's not such a big of a problem, right? It doesn't compromise our identity or our careers. But what about these leaders of big businesses posting whatever they wish?
Yeah.
Sometimes on a whim. Mm. Do you think it does more good or more bad? I'm not asking you. I'm asking our listeners.
Yes. That is a very good question. I need to ponder that one.
All right. Just something to think about, folks. If you do have something to share, give us your 2 cents by dropping by our official website. All right. I've kept you captive long enough. Yeah. Let's jump into keyword news.
Let's do.
As always, we're going to clarify some of these headlines for you, starting with our first pick of the day.
Vaccine pass.
Indoor sports facilities have now been added to the list of places that require vaccine passes. But of course, there are some mixed reactions as to what is fair. I can't imagine being a business owner for one of these indoor sports facilities being okay with it.
Yeah, that's because there's a lot of confusion surrounding this vaccine pass, and it does create a lot of chaos in the facilities that these business owners run. And these indoor sports facilities, they were added from yesterday. They are in addition to other high-risk facilities that the government has categorized in needing these vaccine passes. But there's still much debate over what critics are calling discrimination against unvaccinated people. That's kind of the biggest gripe these critics have. Officials explain the policy aims to protect unvaccinated people, in fact, especially those who can't get a jab due to health reasons. But the people who cannot get jabs because of the health reasons are the most vocal in opposing this vaccine pass.
So it's not just about the business owners in this case. It is about those who feel discriminated against for those very healthy reasons. It's ironic because it would mean that they would have to get a PCR test every 2 days, right, to access these facilities.
Yeah, it is quite a cumbersome process, isn't it? And a growing number of petitions opposing the vaccine pass have also been filed on the Changwade website as well, opposing the vaccine pass. There's also much debate over what critics are saying is the contradictory nature of the vaccine pass system as well. That's where most of the confusion comes from. Critics say people take off their masks when dining out in places like restaurants, for example, that don't require vaccine passes. Also, there are differences in the type of facility as well, so there's confusion there. For example, indoor sports, Pilates studio, for example, you would consider that an indoor sports facility, but it's actually registered as an educational facility. And so that's why in that case, they do not require these vaccine passes.
That's really confusing.
It is a bit confusing. Because,
I think for clients too.
Yeah, because you would think that all these places are sports facilities, but depending on the sport and activity, the business registration itself differs, and that's where this vaccine pass system differs as well.
So, I feel like there was a similar confusion before with certain bars being registered as not necessarily a dance-friendly venue, in which case they were given the green light to open up essentially just like any other restaurant.
Yeah, and that did cause a bit of a problem because a lot of cluster infections happened in those places, because these bars that weren't registered as so-called, you know, clubs or dancing places.
Right. Look how much we know about dancing places.
They did open up the dance floor, but they weren't registered as one of those types of businesses. So
going forward, it does seem like clarification is also really important.
There's a lot of grey areas, a lot of confusion, it's not going to be the end of this debate, I'm afraid, for the time being.
All right, so be mindful of these updates, and we'll hopefully try to clarify some of those grey areas. For the time being, it turns out Pilates Studios is an educational facility, so no vaccine pass required.
Yeah, it's a Pyeongsaeng 교육, kind of a life educational facility, if we translate it into English. But
I guess that's open to interpretation, because couldn't all indoor sports facilities be a lifelong educational facility?
It can be. But the thing is, like gyms, for example, you do have personal trainers, but you also do go there to work out by yourself. So it's not necessarily an educational facility. In Pilates, for example, you're mostly getting lessons 99% of the time. Right, so that's why it is kind of, you know, like this hagwon or academy.
You did clarify, actually, really, because most Pilates studios do operate on a lesson-based classes in the first place. All right, on to our second keyword of the day.
Booster shots.
Amid a rising number of severely ill patients, especially notable in the groups inoculated first in the country, the government is looking to shorten the interval for booster shots. So what's the latest?
Yeah, the government is looking to shorten that window from 6 months to 5, only about a month. Now, studies have shown that boosters can provide more than 11 times reduced risk of infection and nearly 20 times reduced risk of severe disease. Now, if the number of critically ill patients rises, the government is even looking at shortening the interval even further than that 5 months. Now, health authorities are on alert, especially now, as there is a rise in the number of cluster infections at nursing homes and facilities frequented by elderly people. The number of elderly people included in daily cases recently is also increasing as well. And of course, if these elderly people get infected, there is higher risk of them to develop severe illness and even death. This is a time when immunity is starting to wear off in that age group, as it's been about 5 to 6 months since they received their second shot. So experts have also stressed that boosters should be given out as soon as possible, because we are in a time when that critically ill patient numbers are increasing, and also the number of deaths as well have been in double digits basically for the past couple of weeks.
And we're also seeing strains absolutely evident in the medical infrastructure. So we're talking about ICU beds being filled up a little bit more quickly than the KDCA had proposed.
That's right. It's nearing that kind of 75% threshold that the government kind of laid out in order to put the brakes on this kind of living with COVID-19 system.
And for the capital city, we've already passed that threshold.
That's right. And the KDCA chief herself said that it might be difficult to move on to the second phase. Of course, there is this two-week evaluation period among each state of the living with COVID-19 scheme. So we'll have to see how the health authorities plan out the next stage if it does happen.
All right, on to our third keyword of the day.
Space program.
South Korea is looking to boost its space program with an ambitious plan that was revealed by the Prime Minister. It is really ambitious, and the timeline is really ambitious too. So run us through the details.
That is right. Prime Minister Kim Bok-yeom said Korea is looking to develop 170 satellites over the next 10 years, beginning 2022.
170?
170. You heard that right. And he also said the country is planning on launching 40 rockets into space during the same period as well.
I would be surprised, but then again, the U.S. private sector in space exploration, they shoot these reusable rockets quite frequently too.
That is a good point that you mentioned the private sector. Kim stressed that this would be done using domestic technology as well. Korea has long relied on foreign technology for space projects, but was able to launch the Nuri rocket recently, which was homemade. Kim added that the government will also boost support for relevant companies, i.e. the private sector. This means that the government is encouraging private firms to take part in space programs. So who knows, we might have Korea's next SpaceX or something like that.
It seems that that is the aim. They want to foster these kind of space programs because they are notoriously expensive, which means that government tax breaks, for example, might be necessary.
It'll be interesting to see who will become Korea's next Elon Musk.
Why do we keep comparing to Elon Musk? Can't we just have someone who's better than Elon?
Tony Stark. I know he's fictional, but still.
Somewhere in between. All right, guys, on to our fourth keyword of the day.
regulatory sandboxes.
The government is also looking to support new technologies here on Mir Earth that includes small robots and greener vehicles. There should be initiatives in place to fast-track these projects and maybe allow regulatory loopholes if the project seems to serve a greater purpose.
That's right. A lot of red tape being lifted here. Yeah. The government has allowed several regulatory sandboxes to promote greener and innovative economic growth. These include a self-driving library robot and hydrogen-powered vehicles and
trucks.
That
was a really innovative way to say innovative.
Got your attention now.
Yeah.
Now, this robot, this self-driving library robot, will stroll the sidewalks with up to 100 books for people to borrow at any time. So you can just basically pick it up from this robot.
So robot and pick up a library book?
Yeah, so if you're on your way to a cafe and you don't have anything to read, then, you know, it's quite convenient. That actually couldn't be done before because such robots were considered to be vehicles. So, of course, they're not allowed to be driven on sidewalks where pedestrians walk. Now the red tape has been lifted, so it can be allowed. Now, 14 such easing of restrictions were actually made during a government meeting yesterday. Another such easing of restrictions is hydrogen electric vehicles. Coupang, for one, the e-commerce giant, will also be allowed to add Hyundai's Exeunt fuel cell heavy truck to its fleet. Now, the move, this is a hydrogen-powered electric truck, not just a hydrogen-powered truck. It is an electric vehicle that is kind of powered by hydrogen as well. The move comes at a time when Korea is suffering a shortage of diesel exhaust fuel. Those prices have skyrocketed to crazy levels. And also, as part of the plans to reduce diesel vehicles and also go greener as a whole. Now, the previous law only allowed such eco-friendly vehicles to replace existing trucks, not add them.
Ah, there you go. Those are just a few of the regulatory sandboxes. And it feels like this conversation might continue going into a new era of new technology to maybe introduce a greener future faster.
Exactly. Who knows? Who knows what might come next?
You know, I keep telling myself maybe my major was not in line with the future.
What was your major?
Communications. Useless.
Same as me, actually.
Useless.
Yeah.
Anyone.
There are new ways to communicate, though, that are coming out.
And I don't speak their language. Robot language, that is. But maybe this is a bone to pick for another day. On to our fifth keyword of the day.
Travel bubble.
International travel is slowly resuming, and Korea has welcomed the first tourists from Singapore under a bilateral travel bubble agreement. What's the latest?
Yes, the tourists landed at Incheon Airport yesterday. They are free to travel around the country without quarantine if they test negative with a PCR test for COVID-19 or are fully vaccinated, of course. Now, the same applies for tourists flying from Korea to Singapore as well. The Korea Tourism Organization has gone a step further. It's organized for some of these Singaporean tourists, including some tourism industry officials and reporters, to visit major tourist attractions in the Greater Seoul area and Gangwon province this week. The KTO also signed another pact with the Singapore Tourism Board to cooperate in promoting tourism between the two countries, of course, giving the tourism industries of both countries a much needed boost.
All right, on to our last keyword of the day.
BTS sweeps EMAs.
That's not the European Medicines Agency,
right?
We have to adjust our tone. This is the entirely different EMAs. BTS has emerged as winners from this year's MTV Europe Music Awards, sweeping four accolades at the single award ceremony.
I did not think of that confusion,
did
but
you
it
not?
Could be.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the tone in which we discuss a lot of headlines, we do deal with a great deal of COVID-19 updates.
That's right. Well, BTS haven't swept a lot of vaccines. They've swept a lot of awards.
Yes,
they've bagged four, to be precise, for best group, best K-pop, best... It's interesting that there's a best K-pop category.
It was before, I think, BTS was elevated to status because K-pop was popular. They just couldn't compete against the likes of Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber.
Right.
And now they can.
Well, that is a whole new award category in itself, which is a big accomplishment. And also best pop and biggest fans as well. There's also a biggest fans award.
That's
was given out at the ceremony that was held held in Hungary's Budapest. Now, it is the second straight year, actually, for BTS to win 4 awards at the EMAs. So every time they go, they sweep multiple awards.
Yep.
The only other artist to win more than one trophy at that ceremony was Ed Sheeran, who snagged Best Artist and Best Song. That Best Song is actually the most coveted award, actually, in the ceremony. So it's a bit unfortunate for BTS to miss out on that. Now, starting with their first triumphant moment in 2015, BTS have now won 14 EMAs.
Not too shabby.
In that short space of time. The band has managed to collect at least one prize as well every year they've been nominated, except for the first time, which was way back in 2014. But the very next year, they did sweep several awards.
I think biggest fans. It was almost designed for BTS.
Kind of a scary name for a fan group as well. Army.
Not to be messed with,
folks. Yeah, exactly.
I do understand that BTS will be competing at the upcoming AMAs this week, the American Music Awards. We'll see how many accolades they sweep up there.
Surely likely to be more than one.
All right. Thank you very much, Adam, for today's coverage. I'll speak to you again tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.